Today's program has been brought to you by Consider Bardwell Farm, the first cheesemaking co-op in Vermont. For more information, visit www.considerbardwellfarm.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, Brooklyn. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're about to experience the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on Heritage Radio Network. My co-star is back this week, Jesse Riley. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, Chad. How are you?
Good. This is like our reunion show.
It's been the hiatus of the summer.
Yeah.
And you come back as Grizzly Adams.
I do. I wish maybe we could post a picture on the website or something. I have come back. And I'm growing my October, November hunting beard. I started in August, mid-August, I guess, and I'm starting to fill in. I'm kind of looking a little Duck Dynasty. And
yeah, you have a few more inches for that.
Right. And it, you know, my thing is it's all tactical. It breaks up the outline of my face. So mm-hmm. If the deer look at you, you know, it's a little confusing. I look like maybe vegetation or something.
You blend.
I blend in, right. So I don't have to use any camouflage. And I hate wearing those camouflage masks and whatnot. I wear eyeglasses. And when you breathe in those face covers, they fog your glasses up. So we'll see how long it last. I'm itchy. And mm-hmm. So today we were thinking, and we planned this out like, you know, about 2 or 3 minutes ago. We said, what are we going to do on the show? Well, oh, no.
Well, since you mentioned face camouflage, I think that's a good jumping off point, because I was actually going to ask you about that, right, since I just this weekend went out and bought my pants and jacket because I'm taking my course this weekend.
Right, which is awesome, and I got to apologize. I was trying to keep up with the texts, and then I got a last one from you where you really got into describing what you got.
Yeah, well, you were nice enough to give me the redhead catalog.
Right, which is Bass Pro's line of hunting gear.
Which, once I went on the site to find all the cute jackets that had every single technical specification I was looking for based on our conversations, they were all out of stock or back ordered.
Right. Well, this is the time of year now, right? So everyone's ordering. Okay.
Right. And then, so then I checked some other websites. I couldn't find anything. So I thought, well, I'll go find the nearest hunting and fishing physical brick and mortar, or in this case, simulated log cabin that was near me. A nice place called L&H Hunting.
Cool.
And they don't carry any women's hunting gear.
Okay.
No clothing. But the guy was nice. He says, I think that'll fit you. So it did. I a medium.
Good.
And I think I said I couldn't, you know, it was a company called Gamehide.
I've heard of them. Yeah.
And, you know, like the stuff that was scent blocking, it was all for people who were like 4X, 2X to 4X in size.
Okay. So it doesn't have any kind of scent control.
Doesn't have scent control, but it's like the moisture will beat up on it. It's waterproof. The seams are all sealed.
Good.
And it's my favorite thing. The hood is detachable.
Great.
I don't know. I got this like weird thing about walking around with a hood when I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, anything like that. I'm trying to think. Well, I have a couple of. See, my gear is set up because I start hunting October 1st, and mm-hmm. I've hunted in October where it's been 70 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, you know, varying outfits, if you mm-hmm. want to call them, you know, for depending on the weather. But my winter gear is all like that. It's not detachable. I think you could roll it up and mm-hmm. stick it in a neck. Anything where you have options.
Yeah.
So you could expand upon what you're wearing. You know, if you don't need a hood, why have a hood?
Yeah. And the other thing I kind of checked out is I had it on and I was like trying to see to make any like weird crinkly sounds.
Smart.
It was really quiet.
Smart.
The only thing is like the jacket's real tree and the pants are mossy oak.
Who cares?
But I figure, you know.
Who cares? Anybody who says anything about that, I mean, first of all, who are you going to see? You shouldn't see anybody. You're camouflaged. You're in the woods.
Right.
You know, if you see me, I'm not saying any. Real hunters don't give a crap.
Right.
You know what's the most important part? The deer don't give a crap. They're not going to be like, oh, I saw her because she was wearing a one part real tree camo. And
broke up the fake pattern.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, truthfully, the amount of time and effort we put into these different patterns, I find it hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on your environment, you know, where you're hunting, different camos are darker or lighter. And
right.
And that means something to me. I find mossy oak, and they have mossy oak's really grown up over the last probably 10 years. They've really expanded their line. But mossy oak is a darker camouflage, mm-hmm. where the real tree is a little lighter. But truthfully, it doesn't matter. As long as you have some kind of breakup of your silhouette, you're going to be good. So that's cool.
Do you find like you need, because I was looking at these, but again, not in my size, was like some kind of like lighter camo t-shirt that's got like an insect repellent in it?
No, I don't bother with that. By October, when I start hunting, the bugs are down, you know. Mm-hmm. So usually, even on a warm day, you might have to mess with a few flies, but the mosquitoes are gone, mm-hmm. all of that. I mean, that's for spring turkey hunting,
mm-hmm.
You could look into something like that. What I was going to suggest, since your gear is not scent proofed,
right,
you should invest in a good pair of underwear, you know, layered, mm-hmm. underwear, you know, mm-hmm. long pants and a shirt that's scent proof.
Okay.
You know, I would start my scent proofing there then, mm-hmm. if you don't have the outer layer, and that'll be fine.
Okay.
You know, and then now that you, so, you know, you have the jacket, you have the pants.
Right.
That's good. You know, now you just got to look at that, and as needed, you got to start building upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Layer things underneath.
Right.
Depending on the thickness of the jacket, maybe you're able to put a jacket over that in the really cold weather if you're
right.
hunting in January. And, you know, I mean, I'm hunting from October 1st through the end of January, and there's a huge difference, believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, what surprised me about the jacket is it's rated for pretty cold weather, but it looks like just a lined fleece.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, that's the technology they're building, and that's great because you don't want to be too bulky, especially bow hunting.
Yeah, no, it was nice. Like the jacket fit tight, but I could like really stretch my arms back, and there was like nothing binding.
Right, and that's good. And you want to be able to, you know, layer clothes. So, you know, mm-hmm. when you're in the tree stand, the thing is, when I hunt, I go in the woods at 4:30 in the morning, and you know, in October it could be upstate. I mean, it could be in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
low 40s. It's cold. And then by 11 o'clock, you know, it's the temperature is starting to come up. And then we go into the 50s and the 60s. And then you're dressed too heavily. So I'll just take layers off and hang it in the tree with me. And again, just that, you know, I'll put hooks in the tree behind me,
mm-hmm.
and just start hanging my stuff up as I take it off. And that helps break up your outline.
But do you do anything then? Because you've gone to all this effort to like blend in like 90% of your body, and then you have your face sticking out.
Yeah, so, you know, I made a joke of it, but the beard helps. So you got to grow a beard, Jesse.
Oh.
That's not going to happen.
I have that Southern Italian thing with those little chin hairs, but I don't think I'm going to make
not
Grizzly
like
Adams. And I don't want to.
I'm a big believer in that your face has to be camouflaged. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a darker complexion, so that's mm-hmm. going to help you, you know, blend a little bit. Two outlets are to wear some kind of mask.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell, you know, various masks. They even have scent-proof masks that mm-hmm. will stop your breath when you're breathing, which I find good. Because I wear glasses, I really have no luck with all of these. My glasses fog up. So when I don't have a beard, what I'll do is buy some face camouflage.
Okay.
And I'll just do a little black on my nose, the mm-hmm. high points, my cheek, blend a little green in.
Just like grease paint.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They sell it at any hunting store, you know. They even sell like little compact kits with like brown, black, and green and mm-hmm. a little mirror, you know. But I'll just brush a little bit on your face. And again, that just helps the outline. I'm a true believer in during bow hunting, you should wear sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
I wear glasses, prescription glasses,
right.
anyhow. So I have Oakleys that I wear that are transition. So when it's dark, I could see. As the sun starts to rise, they turn darker. And I've been in situations mm-hmm. where I've had deer within 10, 15 yards of me
mm-hmm.
and blinked my eyes, and they've seen it.
Wow.
You know, so when they look up and they see something out of the ordinary standing there, and you're holding your bow,
mm-hmm.
And you just blink your eye, they'll pick up on that. With sunglasses, obviously, they can't see the blink of the eye. So, and you know, the guy I hunt with, the buddies I hunt with, they laugh at me. They're like, you're too, the war's over, Chad, get out of it. You're not a sniper anymore.
You're giving the deers too much credit.
But you know what? Yeah, maybe I am. But and maybe that comes from my militaristic training, respect the enemy, and I've killed a lot of deer, and I don't know which part of my routine has lended to that. But I get two deer every year, three deer are down every year based on, you know, my scent control, my showering, my use of scent control bags for storage of my gear. You know, I'm a lunatic about it. I dress in the field. I use all the scent-free products for washing my body. So, you know, I think it's a combination of all of this and then covering my eyes. I don't know. But for me, it's what I do. Other people don't take it that far. You know, but for me, the worst thing is, you know, you say, I don't need to do that. And you get up in the tree stand and you're put in a situation where this beautiful buck or a deer of your dreams is within 10 yards and you blow it because you decided not to put a little camouflage on your face or something like that. To me, take every precaution.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal, you know? And when I hunt, like we're going up, my partner and I are going up to our property today. Car's packed and we're going up. Yeah. And that, this will be it. You know, we're going to hang our, move our tree stands based on some camera pictures.
So this is our property you were looking at earlier in the year.
Yeah. In Hancock, we're finally getting, you know, we're getting somewhere. We've been developing it, I guess you would say. We did some plantings, some clover and chicory and some other stuff. So I'm hoping that came up. You know, basically weeds that deer like to eat in places. We cut our paths. We have a blind set up. We have some cameras in place, and we've been monitoring the pictures. and there's some big deer, and there's some small deer. And there's a lot of deer on the property. And now, so this, you know, the next 2 days, we'll just tweak everything.
Does that mean you're going to set the deer cam up on your website?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you're the IT girl though, so maybe I can give you all the information. You can handle that. I can barely retrieve the pictures from it. We have a bear on the property. We got a great picture of a bear. So that's cool. But you know, so now we got to move our tree stands, reset everything, and then get the hell out of there and don't touch it again. We will not go in that woods again till October 1st when I sneak into my tree stand at 4:30 in the morning. Hopefully for a good hunt. We'll see. You know, I've been, we could talk about it later if we have time. I don't know. I was looking at the rut reports this year. I'll look up his name. I want to get it right because the guy's brilliant. Aljmer, or whatever his name is. He works for deer and deer hunting. He's a biologist. Spent his life studying deer reproduction and the rut and when it happens every year. And he's convinced it's due to the length of day and the moon cycle. His other theory is that it's based on temperature, that it's not really based on anything. The deer just come in when the female deer comes into estrus, that's when. But I'm convinced, you know, having gone off this guy's schedule for, I don't know, the last 10 years, he's pretty accurate. And he's calling, I shouldn't even tell all you people out there, but he's calling for a late season rut this year, which means it'll fall during the rifle season. I think he was saying the week before Thanksgiving, the 17th through Thanksgiving is the best week to hunt. That's when the deer will be running around. It should be the prime rut right there. So, you know, you look at that prime week there and then you go the week before that, they'll be chasing, looking for each other. So that'll be good. And then, you know, probably after Thanksgiving, you'll have a lull of a couple of days where they're breeding and then it'll all start up again to a lesser extent, but you'll have another week there. So it's that really that 3 week period, you know, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving and the week or two after, that 1 month period really where you got to be in the woods every day. So we're going to use the bow season on a new property as basically a scout. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're hunting. I'm going to try for a deer, but you know, just make sure we know what's happening. Do we have good routes to our tree stands? Do we know our way around? We're kind of landlocked in a little bit where we are. I'll explain that. And I want to talk about where you are with your hunter safety and all that. Okay, so...
Well, look, it's time for a break.
Is it? Perfect timing. Yeah. We're like professionals now. Let's take a short break. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain, and we'll be back in 1 minute.
You're listening to Climb by Four Lincolns on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Stay tuned for more from the Wild Game Domain. Today's program has been brought to you by Consider Bardwell Farm.
Spanning the rolling hills of Vermont's Champlain Valley and easternmost Washington County, New York, 300-acre Consider Bardwell Farm was the first cheese-making co-op in Vermont, founded in 1864 by Consider Stebbins Bardwell himself. Rotational grazing on pesticide-free and fertilizer-free pastures produces the sweetest milk and the tastiest cheese. All of their cheeses are aged on the farm in their extensive system of caves.
Consider Bardwell Farm is also a big supporter of Heritage Foods USA's No Goat Left Behind program. No Goat Left Behind is a serious effort launched in 2011 by Heritage Foods USA, designed to introduce goat meat to American diners and provide a sustainable end market for dairy animals.
For more information, please visit www.considerbardwellfarm.com.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Chad Pagano. I'm here with my co-host, Jesse Riley, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain. So we were just kind of getting to know each other again, talking about where we are in the this hunting endeavor we undertake. And I know, Jesse, you had signed up for Hunt to Safety.
Yeah, back in April, because it fills up so quickly, I was looking for one of those courses where you can do the hunter safety and the bow safety in like one weekend.
That's cool.
Because otherwise it was like you do one and you've got to wait weeks and then do the second one. So Friday morning, I'm driving up to Spencer, New York, which is near Syracuse.
Wow.
Somewhere out there.
It's up there.
It's up there.
That's cool.
And it's 2 days. It's run by a bow hunting club that's up there that's also a store. And he said, you know, dress appropriately. You'll be outside for 2 days, rain or shine.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
It sounds like they're really doing the course, too. Because a lot of places on Long Island in the city, they just kind of, you sit in a room, the guy reads out of the curriculum, and you know, everyone gets their pass. If they're really doing something outdoors, that's awesome.
No, they said bring your bow, bring the practice tips. And
wow.
Yeah, it'd be. I'm looking forward to this.
Now they're a hunting club.
Yes.
All right. Now ready? I'm going to make a prediction. You ready? Because I know Jesse.
Okay.
I know Jesse. Jesse's joining this hunting club. You ready? Get ready, because we're going to come back next Tuesday and just going to be like, yeah, I joined the club. I don't know. The guy was great. I learned a lot. They have a great property. It's all about bow hunting.
And then I have to drive 5 hours to go hunt. I don't know.
Yeah, but who knows if they have.
Who knows?
Might have a place to stay.
It might be nice.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, you know, Catherine found a place that has a spa, so it might work out.
That's nice. You see, I never, it's funny you bring that up, because, you know, we're heading upstate. My hunting partner's already on his way up. We're setting up our deer camp for the season now. And, you know, we were looking, we've been hunting in Orange County and Long Island for the last couple of years. And the property in Orange County that fell through on us, we never really stayed. It was so close. You know, we drive up for the day, hunt, come home, and go back the next day. It was an hour and a half.
Far is this place you're going to?
Well, we're in Delaware County now, outside of Hancock, New York. It's a little further. It's about 2.5, 3 hours.
Still not bad.
No, it's still not bad, but it's a long turnaround. Just that little bit makes a difference to me. So we're setting up deer camp this year. And we were looking all summer for a decent camper, throw on the property, something like that. And we really couldn't find anything. And then we decided, you know what, we're going to do this right. And we went to Cabela's, and we bought their brand new outfitter's tent, the Alaknak.
Nice.
20 by 12 with the vestibule. You know, it's way more tent. You could probably fit 8 guys in it. It's only 2 of us. So we're
palatial.
Gonna, yeah. So, which we need, because my partner snores. So he'll be on one side of the tent. I'll be on the other. You know, the one thing we're obviously worried about is some locals up there finding out it's there and not taking kindly to it. But I'm not too worried. So we're going to set that up. And, you know, we've been planning all the little things that have to be accounted for there. How are you going to store your gear? What gear do you need? What about food? What about fire? How are you going to make your coffee in the morning?
Right.
You know, you're camping in really extreme elements in a way. I mean, it's going to be cold.
Well, you have no running water, right?
No running water. You know, we're going to live out of, you know, water jugs, tubs. We have, you know, a Coleman stove. We're going to have fire. We're going to be able to heat water and shower, and we're going to set up a little shower system using a pump, you know, a regular pump to pump the water out of the bucket with the warm water so we could take showers every day.
See, like when I used to go camping, I used to like to go like that spring camping, so a little snow on the ground.
Yeah.
But I was always near a river, so I had access to running water.
Convenient. Very nice. Yeah. No, we don't have that. So, you know, we're packing in all of our H2O needs. But it's funny, you know, we've been planning this now all summer. I mean, we've had meetings. You know, we're writing it down. Joe, go get this. You know, we bought a small generator, and my car is packed to the gills now. His car is packed, and we're finally going to set it all up and do a dry run. We're going to use propane heat in the tent to keep it warm, which is good. It's convenient. It's good heat. It's safe.
Safe.
The problem is, you know, it's one of those propane heaters that you can't really heat anything on.
Right.
So then we thought, well, we're going to need warm water. So I had my father had given to me. I mean, he used it, I guess, in the 50s and 60s, a Coleman camp stove.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't find it. I was like, where's my Coleman camp stove? I was going through the attic, the garage.
Are neat. They had those little wind guards on the side.
Yeah. And this one was one of the original ones they made. It's solid metal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good. But I hadn't used it probably in 15 years. So it was sitting in a garage. So I yelled at my wife because she had a big garage sale. And I'm like,
you sold my panicked,
I did.
Right?
I was like, if you sold that, I'm choking you. That's it. I'll go to jail. So I moved something, of course. I moved the sleds, and there was the Coleman stove.
Of course.
But I hadn't used it in 20 years. Apparently, I had left fuel in it, and it was like turpentine. It was disgusting. So I cleaned out, tried to get it going. My partner had to redo the gasket, you know, for the pump. But this thing fired right up. I mean, with a little bit of cleaning and maintenance, not having used it. First of all, it was built in the 50s. I hadn't used it in 10 or 15 years. The Coleman fuel, the good old-fashioned Coleman fuel. And the thing fired right up. It spit out a huge flame, was burning like that, and then it just kicked down once the lines cleaned out and that blue flame popped up.
Did you have that fireball in the garage or outside?
Outside, safety first. And my hunting partner is also a fireman. So it's, you know, fire safety is everything with him. He'll throw his body on it to protect the structure. So I'm happy for that. So we got that. We're going to do the water. And then we had to figure out, you know, how are we going to go to the bathroom? And so, you know, we have a toilet system with biodegradable bags. And
that's good.
We're going to bury it. And, you know, we did all the research for how to filter that with the rocks. And we're going to set it all up. And we're going to have a little bathroom.
So you're going to leave your tent there when you're not there?
Yes. Wow. That's why I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
You know, really, we're going to be there. I'm going to be there every 2 or 3 days for the whole season, you know, outside of the weekends. I'm wrapped up. But, you know, we'll be there a lot. And, you know, we'll leave the tent set up. We'll have to break down camp.
Right,
we're not going
to
leave any little stuff laying around where people could just walk by and pick it up. Really, it's private property, and I doubt anybody's going to be strolling through. But you never know. So it's been a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah.
You know, we picked up a small marine generator that we got, you know, $100. So we'll have some electricity.
Great.
We're going to do a little soundproofing thing for that, bury it underground, you know, make a hole, put it in. So it should be fun today and tomorrow.
It sounds like you're invading.
Yeah, it kind of is, you know. But just to get the minimal amount of comfort. You know, you got to plan it out. You got to have a system in place or, you know, I mean, just going to the bathroom in the woods.
Or you'll be miserable.
Yeah, is a misery if you don't have the right stuff. So we really put a lot of effort into it. So I'll take some pictures and I'll show you how it looks. And then hopefully.
So when are you going up?
Today.
Wow.
As soon as the show ends in a few minutes. My car is illegally parked out there with all my gear, so I'm praying that the cops are too afraid to come to this mean neighborhood of Bushwick. I'm going to jump in the car, and I'm getting on the highway. So you're doing the hunt to safety. That's good. And then hopefully we could have you up at camp, man.
That'd be great.
You know, I got to clear that with my partner. I can't talk. But
yeah.
Hopefully we could have you up for a day or two at camp, see what you think, and get some hunting in. I'm very excited. This is, if you're a hunter, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, this is Christmas. This is the 2 weeks before Christmas for me right now. Yeah. That's how excited I am. And I'm 9 years, and I'm 7 years old. That's how exciting it is. That's the beginning of deer season.
I can't wait to get outside.
Yeah. There's, you know, and you still have a lot of work to do. You still got, well, you're going to this thing. You go talk to the guys up there.
Yeah.
You gotta start thinking about a tree stand.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start thinking about how you're going to, you know, your strategies for hunting these things. Are you going to just use a blind? Are you going to, you know, get a climbing tree stand?
Yeah, it's a lot to still do.
Yeah. You know, you got to, I've been shooting already. Funny story real quick, you know, big time archery guy, right? So I hadn't shot my bow all summer. I'm like, I got to start shooting again. I have a range set up. I have a detached garage in my yard, so I'll shoot down my driveway. I took it out. 10 yards, little warm up, nailing them. Back up, go to the second pin at 20 yards, start nail, and I'm way high. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Oh, no. And I was going to recalibrate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered my second pin wasn't my 20-yard pin. That second pin is my 30-yard pin, my first. So, like, just little things like that. If you don't you don't draw your bow back and you think you're good, you're not. You gotta refamiliarize yourself with all your equipment. You know, I reset all my broadheads. I mean, I've been tinkering nonstop. Setting up a new scope for my rifle, which was another story. We could do a whole show on that. Much credit to Redfield, Loopold, people who make my rifle scope. I bought a scope, had it mounted at Dick's, and the guy was a disaster. He told me it was bore sighted. It should be on the paper. I took it to the range, and I couldn't hit the paper. So I was trying to walk it up. We didn't really even know where the rounds were going. Finally, we identified where the rounds were. I was trying to crank it. Eventually, I broke the elevation knob on it.
Oh.
So I went back to Dick's. Of course, they don't carry that rifle scope anymore. I mailed it back to Redfield and had a new scope, brand new, within 2 weeks. They mailed it right back.
So what was the problem?
I don't know. It wasn't mounted properly. The guy had used the wrong mount. So I actually returned everything to him, got my money back. I used my old mount, rifle mount, the scope mount, which was fine. I don't know why I let the guy talk me out of it. And I just bought new rings.
Okay.
And so I put new rings on, did it myself, laser bore sighted it in my basement. So, and I'm going to take it upstate today and see what it's got. So my rifle will be sighted in today, so I'm ready to go there for rifle season. And then the last thing I have to really worry about is muzzle loading at the end of the season, but we're not there yet. I'll have time to break out the muzzle loader and make sure that's in good shape. But this is my Christmas time.
So it means I'm not going to see you again till when?
Yeah, well, no, we're only going to, when are we going up? Today's Tuesday, right? Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be back Thursday. I'm working, unfortunately. Okay. I have a special event. Friday, I don't know, working, I think. I have a class.
I'm taking that sugar class on next week.
With Nodder.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there all week. I'm working. I have special events all next week, so I'll see you around next week.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be here next Tuesday?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm thinking of August 2014.
What do you mean?
Pastry Live.
Oh, okay. All right.
See,
don't
you're harass. So you're so focused on hunting.
I am. I am. It's hard. I mean, I didn't even do my payroll this week. I've been spending money. You think I'd want to get a paycheck? My payroll guy had to call me, in all his kindness, and straighten me out. Like I'm a 7 year old, and it's the week before Christmas.
Yeah, I get it.
it's exactly what we are. All right, Jess, anything else?
No, I think that's it. And I'm going to report back to you after Sunday night and we see how it goes.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we'll follow up with that for Tuesday and we'll see where we are. And I'll be able to tell you about how the camp set up went. And
Great.
I'm going to bring the iPad to get some great pictures, and maybe we'll do something.
And we'll post them.
Yeah, we'll post them up and show you what a real deer camp looks like.
Nice.
It should be cool. All right. Well, here we go again. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Joe for producing and engineering today's show. And you could always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. Thank you, Brooklyn.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.